Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Cool spot. This is only our third Vision Sunday. I mean, like, literally, right. Like, if you've been around, you might go, well, Hope City is a brand new church. It was just planted 3 years ago at 3.5, and this is our third Vision Sunday.
Let me tell you about why we do Vision Sunday. There's a reason why we do this, because it gives us something to work towards. I mean, we're always working to be more like Jesus, right? But we do Vision Sunday so that we have this statement in our head, like, okay, 2024, this is what we're working for in my life and in the life of Hope City this year. Over the last two years, we've had these vision goals. In 2022, it was the forward movement. I don't know, maybe we don't have slides. And then in 2023, it was exponentially more.
How many of you saw exponentially more in your life in 2023?
Wow.
Okay.
How many of you saw yourselves take steps and moved forward in 2022? Come on, look at that. That means, if you're raising your hand and you're like, I understand what you're saying, that means you grabbed on to the vision, to what was happening. Like, I want part of that. I'm going to do it. Let's go for this.
There was a lot of hands not raised, though, too.
Well, that's okay. Yeah. They're going to raise for this one. I know it. Okay?
They're new. How many of you came to Hope City new in 2023? Lift your hand. This is your...
Woo!
Wow. Wow.
That's pretty awesome.
That's very cool.
I want to share with you what God's word says about vision, because there's a reason we have vision. In the English Standard Version, Proverbs 29:18 says this: where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. I know that sounds a little, like, weird. And that's why I also included Eugene Peterson did a paraphrase of the Bible called The Message, where he wrote the Bible in ways like, this is what it means to me and how I understand it. It's called The Message. It's really powerful. I want to share with you Eugene Peterson in The Message, what he said about Proverbs 29:18. It says this: if the people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves, right? But when they attend to what he reveals, that's that prophetic vision, they are most blessed.
Amen.
Isn't that good? Isn't that good? When we can't see, or what we don't understand what God is doing, when it doesn't make sense, we tend to be like, well, I don't understand, and we start stumbling, right? And what God's word is saying is like, what am I revealing? What's the prophetic vision that I'm revealing to you? That's what I want you to hold on to. That's what I want you to look at. That's when you'll be blessed. Amen. Let's look at that. It's always important to have a goal to look forward to, and every year, the four pastors of Hope City pray for God's vision for the coming year. How does he want to grow us? And this year...
Challenge us.
This year's vision statement. Are you ready? 2024, we're getting out of the way. Here we go. Bear good fruit.
Yeah. Woo! Yep. Come on.
That is so exciting, and it's going to be so challenging, too. Right? It's going to be so challenging, and it's so exciting. And here's where we are anchoring in today, and every time this topic comes up, just like with 2023, with exponentially more, we're doing the same thing. Every sermon series, we're throwing in a bear good fruit sermon, because we were talking about this as we were planning sermons, and we were like, you know, if it works, we'll have the last sermon of every series be a bear good fruit. And then I'm like, no, it should always work. Every time we go to God's word, We should be like, God, what are you wanting to grow in me through this message, right? That should always work. There should always be a bear good fruit in every verse that we read in the Bible, right?
Yes.
So here we go. You ready? Matthew chapter 7, verses 16 through 20. Here's what it says. Get ready to be challenged. So every tree that does not produce good... Oh, wait. That's not it. Sorry. Starting, I'm going to read from mine. There we go. You can identify them by their fruit. That is, by the way they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? A good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. Ooh, I heard it. I heard it. Ooh, right? Now, Jesus, at the beginning of this passage, says, you will recognize them by their fruit. Who's he talking about? Well, actually, the verses above that, Jesus was referring to like false teachers, people that come and try to say, oh, this is what God has. This is what God's word says. This is what God wants you to do. And they were actually like, in that day, they were called false teachers or false prophets. They weren't actually saying the word of God to the people. And there was like questions to Jesus, like, what do you do? Like, how do you know? And this was Jesus' answer. You know them by what they produce. You know them by what's the fruit that they are producing. The same goes for you and me and the community of Hope City as a whole. We're identified as healthy or diseased based on what comes out of our lives. So today we're going to talk about what does this look like to bear good fruit as a community, corporately. What does it look like for Hope City to bear good fruit? And then we're going to talk about like individually, what does it look like for us to be bearing good fruit in our lives?
So in Scripture, there are seven fruit of the Spirit. Here's what they are. Because you might go, what's that? Seven, yeah. Okay, seven. Nine. Is there nine? Oh, my goodness. Okay. Well, who counts? I'm not good at math, all right? I'm just saying. There's nine. Now, you might go, oh, you're giving us a list. No, here's what the evaluation tool is going to be like this year. We're going to look at our lives and we're going to say this. How is the love in my life? Because that's a fruit of the Spirit. The joy. How's the joy in my life? How is my peace? How is the patience? Oh, patience is a tough one. Anybody want to pray for patience this year? Kindness. How's the kindness in my life? Goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. The Bible says those are the fruit of the Spirit, and it also says you can have as much fruit as you want coming out of our lives. And see, I think what Paul has said that's so strong is, and what that scripture says, is it is our actions. What you're, like, I don't want to just hear your words. I want to hear your actions. And not only do I want to hear your actions here, see your actions, what about when you walk out of the four walls of this place? Because, man, it's easy to show a lot of love here. But when you get with that coworker that you don't like, are you showing love then? I'm talking about in every aspect of our lives and corporately as a church in 2024, I really believe that, and I think our staff, our team believes this, we are continuing to build on the foundation that God has placed here. We want to continue to build that foundation. Listen, this church, we want to have those kind of fruit as a church. We want to be good at loving people. We want to be a good place. We want to see hope and joy and the fruit of the Spirit when you walk in this place. And listen, it's not just a building, but it's all of us coming together with that same vision, that same mandate and battle cry. Lord, we want to love people well. God, we want to have patience with people. Lord, we want people to feel joy when they walk in the doors. God, we want to be good to our community. And as we look in our community, one question that keeps us up, not really keeps us up at night, but we used to evaluate, is this: Hope City was gone tomorrow when our community even realized that we were here. That's something that really drives us. And this year, we're going to be looking for ways to really show our community love and hope and joy and peace by everything that we do. But I want to tell you something. As a church, we can never get an inward focus. We always have to be outward focused, which means when we look out, what are we doing to reach our community? And so one of those things, and this will always be a growing church, we always want to be as full as possible, and here's why. Not because of numbers, but because people's lives are being transformed. The more we can fill this place, the more that we can fill every seat in this place, it means lives are being transformed. But that also means that this year, and be in prayer, we're going to be starting to look at how do we expand this facility, because we're out of space in our kids' areas. Like literally on some Sundays we have, I think we had how many babies last week? I think it was like 12 little infants back in littles. We had, I mean, a huge amount of kids every Sunday. So we've got space here, but we've got to look at how do we take care of our kids? How do we pour into our kids? How many of you know next generation is one of the most important things that we focus on? And as a church, we're focused on reaching the next generation with our children and our youth. And so be praying as we start to look. Our trustees are already looking at what do we need to do to make more space here? What do we need to do to open up more space? And we're going to rely on you to help us, okay? We're going to rely on this congregation to come together and say, listen, we are all about the Father's business. And that means we're going to make space for people. I never want to get to this place where we go, oh, kumbaya, praise the Lord, we have 20 people and that's all we need, because that means we're not reaching the community. That means we're not reaching people whose lives need to be desperately changed, and we want to be able to do that. We have some exciting plans. What, I'll tell you another exciting plan. Within this next month, our district is giving Hope City this building. We will own this building free and clear. That means we as a church, we own this building, and we can do whatever we want to it. Praise God. And listen, we are committed to being debt-free, because I feel like when you look at debt as a church, the Bible says we become a slave to the lender when we have debt. We do not want to be a slave to anybody. We want to be free to reach this community. My last point, and here's what I want to challenge you on. The church is only as strong as the people that come here. Okay? And here's what I'm going to challenge every person in this seat. We have a little bit too much sitting around here where 20 or 30 people are doing all the work, and I'm challenging you to step up and serve. Okay? You need to find a place to serve. You might go, well, I've come in here and I've been hurt because I was burned out at another church. Here's what I promise you. You are not going to be burned out here. The reason you were burned out is because only 20% of the people were doing the work. At Hope City, I'm not satisfied to just let you sit around here and not serve. You have gifts, you have talents that you need to serve. So I'm going to challenge everyone, as these gifts start to come alive in our lives, I want everyone, say everyone, now put that finger down and go, me. Oh, some of you didn't do it. Let's try it again. Everyone, me. Because listen, when we say everyone, some of you are sitting here going, oh, that's so nice, everyone, that's somebody down the row. That's not me. Oh, that's great. Praise the Lord. I'm scot-free. If you're a believer, we need you to help us to accomplish this mission. Everyone. We should never have a Sunday where we can't get enough people to hold babies back in the nursery. And there are some of those Sundays right now. Don't look around. I'm looking at you. All right? If we believe in the next generation, that means we're going to come together. Some of you, you could hold babies with no big deal. You could be like, man, I could do that. I don't know. I told Paula the other day, if it was me, I'd be back holding babies all service. Here's what I'm going to challenge everyone. Everyone reaching somebody. Okay? In this idea of bear good fruit, who are you reaching? What people in your life are you bringing to hear, let them hear? Everyone's growing. Okay? Again, not just everyone, me. You're growing. You're taking the next step. At Hope City, we believe that growth happens one step at a time. You're growing. Everyone is connecting. You better write this down. Everyone's reaching. Everyone's growing. Everyone's connecting. That means you're in a life group. That means you're doing life with people. There are too many people who are lonely today. Some of you sit in loneliness, and you don't have to. We're offering you an opportunity to connect with others. You might go, well, I've never connected at a church. Well, guess what? Don't say never, because, sweetie, it's today. You get to connect at a church at Hope City. Everyone giving. That means of your finances. Everyone, even if you put $5 in. We are creating an army to reach this community, and we need your help. Everyone giving. Right now, we have about 20% giving. Everyone give something. Everyone give. And then everyone serve. Okay? And I'm going to be on this, harping you, because this is what's happening this year at Hope City. That's the vision. Everyone find a place to serve. Even if it's an hour a month, find a place to serve. Well, Pastor, I don't have time. Stop binging the Netflix then. I bet you would. You've got time. Don't tell me you don't have time. Because I promise you have time to do what you want to do. You've got time to serve. And I promise you, the other thing about serving is it's going to change your life. Find a place to serve. Okay. Thank you very much.
Woo! When we talk about bearing good fruit, there's a metaphor that's there, right? And the metaphor is comparing our lives to the process of gardening. But when we think about the process of gardening, there's some foundational truths about gardening that also applies to our spiritual lives and what we are going to produce. And we see that Jesus recognized that similarity, and that's why when he was teaching, he gave us this metaphor. He gave us this comparison. The first comparison that he points out in Scripture is that soil matters. Any gardener in the room knows that soil makes a difference for the health of your crop, right? Okay, we don't have a lot of gardeners in here. That's okay. It's a new year. You can try it. Jesus recognized that there was this similarity, and he told a group of people in the form of a parable. Now, Jesus talked in parables quite a bit, and what it was is it was a story that he told that compared two things. And so, just like bear good fruit is a parable that he told, there was another parable that he told comparing the soil to the actions of people after hearing God's word. So we're going to read that in Matthew chapter 13. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the lake. A large crowd soon gathered around him, so he got into the boat. Then he sat there, and he taught as the people stood on the shore. He told many stories in the forms of parables, such as this one. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. As he scattered them across the field, some seeds fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plants soon wilted under the hot sun. And since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Other seeds fell among the thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still, other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Anyone with ears, let them hear. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. See what happens when I try to finish it without looking? After he told this parable, the disciples pulled him aside, and they asked him why he was doing this. He was always doing this. He was always talking in parables. Why do you always speak in code? It's like they were saying, why are you always speaking in code? Why can't you just tell us plainly? And he explained why he's always speaking in parables. We won't go into that today because it's not important for today's message, but he also understood the underlying question. The underlying question was, we don't get it. Help us understand. And he knew that that's what they were getting at, and so he started to explain it. Let's pick up in verse 18 where he explains this parable. Now listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting seeds. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches up the seeds that was planted in their hearts. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy, get this part, but since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represented those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. Woo! The seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as has been planted. I want to focus in on the good soil for just a second. Hears and understands. How many of us know there's a difference between hearing and listening? Right? All the parents in the room are like, amen. Right? I can hear what you said and put absolutely no effort or thought into understanding it or acting on it. Listening requires more. It requires hearing and understanding. It's an active form of hearing. If a child hears their parent versus listens to their parent, we all know what the difference is. Am I right? Yes. Guys, if we are going to bear good fruit, the first step is our soil. We have to listen to God's word. Wow. Obedience is key to good soil. When you hear God's words, what are you going to do with it? Disobedience will always lead to bad fruit. Obedience is key to having the good soil that a plant can get nutrients from and grow and develop into everything it was planted to be.
Oh, but it doesn't stop there. Soil is just the starting point. The next place, once that seed falls on that good soil that is ready to hear and understand and receive, then there's the process of taking root and preparing for fruit. It's the taking root part that we're going to look at for this last point. Roots are necessary for growth. Right? A tree cannot produce fruit. A plant cannot produce fruit if they got cruddy roots. It's impossible. Okay? So once that seed falls onto good soil, a root system begins to develop. We actually did a whole sermon series about being rooted in Christ a couple of years ago. Some of you might remember that, right? We did this whole series about our roots and being rooted in Christ. But the root system is actually the lifeline of the plant, of the tree. It determines the stability of the tree. Shallow roots, unstable plants. Shallow roots, unhealthy plants. Shallow roots, small to no fruit. Right? And so a good farmer, when they go out to these seeds that are taking root, they make sure that the seeds are getting what they need. These plants are getting moisture. They have access to sunlight and nutrition. In order for those roots to start drawing those things out of the ground to feed the plant. And then, so then they can produce more roots to go deeper in. The farmer's also going to notice anything that springs up around that plant that could actually take the nutrients away from that. I like to call them weeds. And did you know this? Let me just go back to my fourth grade teaching years. Even a beautiful rose bush can be a weed. Because a weed is any plant that grows where it's not wanted. Right? Isn't that good? It can be beautiful. It could be like, it could be producing the most wonderful aroma flowers, the most delicious tasting grapes, and it's still a weed because it's growing where the farmer didn't want it to grow. Take that in for just a minute. Okay? And so a farmer's going to notice the things that are growing around that, like, I don't want that here. This isn't where I want this. And he's going to start uprooting those things that are taking away from the healthy growth of the plant. This is where it gets personal. You and I have to tend to our root systems. You and I are the farmer of our root systems. Because God's going to point things out. But he doesn't uproot them without what? My permission. He doesn't. He won't. He's going to say, I don't like that. But he doesn't just go in and be like, he doesn't. He says, you do it and give it to me. You do that and hand it over to me. Soul care, Friday night. You and I have to attend to our root system. You and I are responsible for providing nourishment to our soul. Sorry. Pastor Avi, Pastor Sheree, Pastor Jason, and I are not responsible for nourishing your soul every day. We are not. Sorry. Okay? You are responsible for feeding your spirit each and every day. You are responsible for opening up God's word each and every day and reading it and then doing what it says. You are responsible for reading and listening to spiritual growth books because there's some amazing authors out there that have taken biblical principles and applied meaning and written these beautiful books about them. You want some resources? Come find us. We'll tell you all kinds of things you should be reading. You could be reading. You're responsible for listening to sermons online. I got this message this week. Someone was going through the archive, the old messages at Hope City, and was like, Pastor Paula, this is a good message. They were listening to a message from like 2 years ago. They said, I don't know why people like go search out all these mega churches for God to give them some original word when they have all this food right here at their own home church. I was like, you preach it. That's right. Not saying that you shouldn't. There's amazing churches and pastors putting out messages that are available out there. You should listen to it all. But you have to do it. If you just listen to God's word and what God's saying on Sunday, that root system is going to be so shallow. Right? You got to feed your spirit too. You have to listen to some worship music every day. You got to let the spirit flow in your home. You like the worship experience here on Sunday mornings. You should be having that every single day. Right? Like, we all like music. How often are you listening to worship music outside of Sunday morning? Not saying, listen, I'm not that legalistic person. Like, that's all you should be listening to. But you should have a healthy dose of it, right? You should be attending church on a regular basis. Are you ready for this? just put your toes in. Here they come. No, keep your toes out. I'm going to step on them if they need to be stepped on. If you're only here once every 6 weeks, you need to be here more often. God's house needs to be your priority because we are a family and we grow together, and you cannot grow and produce good fruits on your own. Get your butt to church. Nothing else is more important. Nothing else is more important. And that's all I have to say about that. You should be attending life groups. Every single one in this place should be attending a life group. Life is done in community. Community is done in life groups. Feed your spirit. And give God permission to remove harmful and unnecessary things. That's not easy. That's not fun. But it's absolutely mandatory for healthy growth. Look at what Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 10 says. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that comes from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. Woo! For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body, so you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. I think you should all read that again. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. I pray. This is your pastors praying this, because this was Paul praying this over the church of Ephesus. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is his love for us.
Here's the thing about Matthew chapter 13 and that passage about the seeds falling on soil is that at the heart of that message was the gospel message. It was the message of Jesus coming to save us all. And it was talking about how sometimes the message of Jesus being our Savior falls on different types of soil. And you might be in this room this morning and you might recognize that you have the gospel message of Jesus has fallen in your life before, but it fell on the wrong kind of soil. And so various things might have happened. Maybe it sprouted up quickly and you were a go-getter and you were in church week after week. And then as soon as something happened, it died and you ran. Or maybe it fell on a soil that the weeds, right, of life instantly choked it up. Maybe Satan attacked as soon as you heard that word and ate it up so that it couldn't take root. Here's the thing. You don't just get one shot at that. And maybe you're in this room this morning and you're recognizing that, hey, I'm hearing that seed is coming again, and I'm ready to do the work in my own soil to make it good. I may not have my soil all together right now, but I'm going to do the work so that roots can take place, so that roots can go down deep, so that I can honestly say that with everything inside of me, I'm chasing after God's best plan for my life. If you're in this room this morning and you're saying, man, I've probably had that seed fall on bad soil before, and it got choked out and it died. But today I'm ready to do the work so that good soil can be in my life and roots can grow down deep. Today I'm ready to chase after the plan that God has for me. From today forward, my life is His.
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.